Just a moment to taste the newness of life.
This is the conversation I've been having going and coming, even today. Is God, what does down to the flesh looks like? Because while the flesh would want a companion, and while the flesh would want to be in relationship and have love, dying to the flesh means something else. It means I can't have that right now because my husband is still alive. So it says if your husband dies, you're released from the law and then you're free to marry. But as long as the husband is alive, you're bound by the law.
So I don't mean to pretend like I'm looking for loopholes, but if your husband got with somebody else, wouldn't that release you from?
They didn't say that, no. It said as long as he's alive. I know.
That's one that like I would have to deep dive into because like and it just brings more questions for me.
Yeah.
Like each question I think I answer.
Yeah. And believe you me, I have looked at every loophole. I've thought about the loophole and it's like, Lord, and that's why it says, what does it mean to die to the flesh? Because to die to the flesh means not wanting the things if you know it's contrary to God's law. God, and you know, the thought that struck me too, I was trying to maybe convince myself that, I don't know, but Mark 10, where Jesus himself was speaking, because they tried to tell him, say, oh, but Moses did wrote the bit of divorcement or whatever. And Jesus said, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote that precept. He says, from the beginning, God intended for one man to be married to one woman. And says, as they leave your mother and father and cleave to one another, so you two shall no longer be twain, but one flesh. One flesh. And so when you come over to Paul talks about the woman being bound to the husband by the law of marriage. And so while I would love to get married again, I've been wrestling. I have been wrestling, and that's the truth. I've been wrestling. And it's so funny, it's Friday night. Me and my sister were talking about the same conversation. And I pulled it up on the Bible. I said, and I was saying in Mark 10, if it wasn't Jesus who said it, then I would say, but Jesus here, I said, it's in red. Mark 10 verse, I know we're having the podcast before we have the podcast. Are you ready?
Just a moment to taste the newness of life. A moment to recognize that yesterday was survived. Embracing every minute and the seasons we have. For despite life's challenges, there is always a moment to be glad. Just a moment. Just a Moment podcast where we pause to reflect on life through the lens of poetry and prose.
First of all, tell me, who is Lena West? And then we'll run into them. Why do you start Barbershop Love Story? Hey everyone, welcome to the official launch of the Just a Moment podcast, where we will be reflecting on life through the lens of poetry and prose. I am Welcome back to another episode of the Just the Moment podcast, where we pause to reflect on life through the lens of poetry and prose. I am Sean N. Graham, host of the Just a Moment podcast, the Jam Pod. I'm a speaker, an author, a poet, and I love to use my gifts, the gifts that God has blessed me with, to talk about Him, to remind you to embrace each moment that God sends your way, good or bad, happy or sad. That's all we'll ever get in this lifetime. Moments, a moment here and a moment there. So I just want to share some announcements with you before we get into the meat of this episode today. I want to remind you to journey with me on this 31-day prayer challenge that we have going. I have been posting my prayers on Facebook. I'm stopping, being intentional for just a moment. And I'm encouraging you to stop as well in the mornings, in the afternoons, or even in the evenings, at nighttime, whatever time you choose. We're stopping for just a moment to lift up a prayer to God, to our Father, to the one who really matters. It can be a prayer of petition, you asking God to provide you with something. It can be a prayer of praise or a prayer of adoration. However and whatever you want to say to your Father, let's stop for just a moment to lift up a prayer to him. And if you want to see what we have done so far, I would encourage you to check out the ones I have already posted on Facebook. So again, I'm encouraging you to journey with me through these 31 days of October, where we're pausing for just a moment to pray. Wow, we are at season 3, episode 2 of the Just a Moment podcast. That's some accomplishment right there. And today we have a very special guest once again. She's no stranger to the podcast. She's my buddy, my friend, the one and only Lena West. Lena, welcome back to Just the Moment.
I've missed you.
You probably hear me talk about your name all the time, right?
Yes. Of course. It's so good to be back. We are, what, about 6 months out?
6 months out, right. We started in March.
Yeah.
We started in March. So, yes, I want to welcome Lena. Lena and I, we're going to dive into this wholesome, I would say, conversation. It's going to be a different kind of episode, not like the ones you've had before, because you will notice as we go through this episode that it's not just me who'll be asking Lena questions or interviewing Lena, but Lena interviewing me as well. This gives not only Lena the opportunity to share, but also for her to pull out of me some of the things a lot of people don't know about me, my journey as well, not only from the podcast standpoint, but also from my life. So we're going to have fun. I told Lena earlier that she could ask me anything. I don't know if that was a good idea, but we'll see as time progresses. But you know something? I want to be honest. I want to be open. I want you all to see that I'm just as flawed as the next man, but I walk in God's grace. And so I'm grateful that you're here. We're going to chit-chat. We're going to catch up.
We are.
Right? Yeah, we're going to talk about life, my life, your life, just this whole journey called life, this race that we run daily. And so what's been going on the Barbershop Love Stories? What have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. Barbershop Love Stories. We are on, we're learning, we're growing. The brand has expanded.
Good.
So a lot of things have been really happening. Mm. And for those of you who have watched Barbershop Love Stories, you know, we talk about love. Right. And so I'm a viewer of the Jam podcast, and I've always been a little curious about love with in regards to Sean and the Cram. So I have questions for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, yes, I'm ready. Whatever you have for me, I'm open.
Well, I want to first start off by asking, when you were younger, mm-hmm. what did you see in regards to love? Like, were your parents married for many years? What did you see?
You know, my parents were never married.
Really?
No, they were never married at all. So I grew up in a home where it's weird if I must say, but my mother was there constantly. Mm-hmm. My father was not really there constantly. He was in and out of the home, but he was there. His presence was felt. And when he showed up, there was a level of respect for him at all times. And I can't even tell you that I saw any, how would I put it now, lack of affection between him and my mom, right? It's only in later years when when you're told the truth or when some things are revealed to you, it's only then that you realize that life
Was a
was
little
not
different.
as it appeared.
So did you see aunts, uncles, other like church members in healthy, happy marriages?
Indeed, indeed. My grandmother had, my mom's mom, she had nine children, and we had aunts who were married, and I, even though their kids would come down to us, we lived in the country, and their kids would always come down to us, but they were coming from families where mother, father were there, and they were both married. And even at the church setting, there were people there who were also married. But again, in my home, even though my dad wasn't married, I wouldn't say a lack of love. It was there, but it was not there.
Okay. How did that shape what you thought marriage was and what you thought of relationships?
You know something? I don't know if I had a perception of what marriage, if I thought it through at that point, but what I could say was at a very young age, I knew I wanted love, not from what I saw in my home, but from what I read in books. If you have not yet subscribed to the Just the Moment podcast, I'm encouraging you to do so. And while you're there, please hit that notification bell so you will be notified once the new episodes are up and ready for you to take a look at. The new episodes are available Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, wherever podcasts are available. So check us out on YouTube, RSS.com. You can go to Amazon Music or Apple Podcasts. It doesn't matter. Wherever podcasts are available, you will find the Just a Moment podcast. So check us out. I'm also going to encourage you to share the episodes with someone who might just be going through and just needs to be reminded that they matter. Someone out there thinks about them. So go ahead and don't forget to share the episodes of the Just a Moment podcast. And if you have missed some, go back and watch them. Believe you me, I go back and listen to the episodes myself when I'm in the car driving to work, coming from work, even at my desk. There's so much encouragement. And I always pray that whatever God has allowed me to share speaks to something on the inside of you, deep, reaching deep. Get that connection. Check out the Just a Moment podcast. Hey, we call it the Jam Pod out here. Yeah, my concept of marriage and relationship and love, I got those from books because I love to read. I grew up in Jamaica. I came here actually when I was 28 years old. And so my younger years spent there, school. We didn't have the opportunities to maybe did as much traveling out per se, and so I dove into books. I journeyed through life into books, and I love to read. So I read
Me
about
too.
all of those things, and I love the little what was it called? What's it called? What's that book? Give me a name for a mystery, mystery, mystery. Well,
Okay.
right, I love the mystery. So the Hardy Boys,
Yes.
all those. I love
Nancy
to read
Drew.
it. Nancy Drew, all of those. But I loved books that talk about love. Just maybe it's a soft, mushy feeling. So that was my concept. That was my idea. Because again, even though I didn't see lack of love in the home, it wasn't there either. It
Okay.
wasn't there either.
So in your later teenage years, in your early adulthood, did you go searching for that, or did you just assume that you would just eventually find it and you would just live in life?
No, Java, I may have to strike this from this episode because I'm going to be honest. And at the age of 14, my dad left and came here to the United States. And that's when I had my first boyfriend at
Okay.
14. I was young. And as I grew older, I recognized what I was doing. I was replacing this older guy because he was 8 years my senior.
At 14?
At 14.
Wow.
At 14, yes. I was replacing this gentleman.
How long did that last?
Ah, a few years, maybe.
Really?
Maybe 2 or more, 3 years. And yeah, I was replacing the void that was left when my father migrated to the United States. That's what I was doing. I was replacing it with an older guy.
So after him, did you continue like dating older
I
men
did
at the
it. Yes, I dated older I dated older guys and had other relationships too after that. Yeah, I did.
Wow. So you weren't the type that was looking for a white picket fence and to necessarily get married. You were kind of 24 hours at a time.
No, not really. I was looking for love. I think at that age, if I could, but maybe the stability in love, the real love,
Okay.
that relationship, family. Maybe in the back of my mind, I was missing something from what I didn't see in my home, or again, from the father's love that had left. So it was as a matter of replacing that. But I went in, I always say, whatever relationship I had, I went in genuinely looking for that relationship to be stable, that relationship to last for a while. And even when it didn't, I didn't beat myself up. I didn't beat the other person up because I was maybe on this journey to look for love that would last.
Well, you know what? Since you're a reader, I want to ask you, you've heard of the five love languages.
Yes.
Do you know which one yours is?
I may have more than one.
And then do you feel like that circles back to what you saw as a child growing up?
The truth is, I don't know what I missed. You see what I'm saying? Because the mere fact that I didn't see my parents, I want to say, being that affectionate. I don't know if I equated that to lack of love. You know what I mean? I don't know if I equated that to lack of love because I grew up with the perception that they loved each other.
I
But
mean,
that was
if
not necessarily the case. So, as for the five love languages, I don't know if I can say what I would be genuinely missing based on what, as I grew older, maybe I can tell you. I don't know if words of affirmation or touch are mine now. But back then, I don't know if I could have identified what it was, you know what I mean?
Interesting. And so you got married later in age, correct?
Yes, I got married at 38.
Okay. How did that come about?
So before I got married, I was living in Jamaica and I was engaged to a gentleman, had the baby girl that died, Gabby. And so after Gabby died, I didn't date anyone else. And a friend of ours from Jamaica as well, he lives here, introduced me to my then husband. And we got together. Yeah, I got pregnant before I got married. We got engaged though. And I got pregnant. We did it backwards. I got pregnant, got engaged, and got married after Latavia was born. Yeah,
Okay.
a month after, actually.
Do you feel like you were ready to get married, or do you feel like that was just the next step, and so we're gonna take it and go from there?
I've always wanted to get married, I think. Or let's say I always wanted love. And I probably looked at it as a normal progression. As for me being ready, maybe there were choices. I could have looked at things differently. We both could have. And
Was he around the same age?
no, he's 10 years older than
Okay, so she kept with the theme. She didn't
he's 10 years.
sway.
And you know, I don't even know if it's if I'm drawn to older men. I don't know if that's what it is. But yeah, he
Well, I
was
think
yeah,
there's
he was
something to be said about the stability of older men. And so if you're looking for love and more stability, I can definitely see, being attracted to, a man of older age.
older age, but I don't know if that was what I was looking for. Again, looking for companionship. Just sometimes you feel like you have so much bottled up inside and so much you have to share and so much you want to give, you know, to someone else. And so you look for opportunities. And since I hadn't, you know, been dating for a while, it was like there was a break in between. So here was an opportunity, was introduced by another fellow friend of mine. So, you know, I thought it would work. I thought it would work, but sometimes we can't predict what's going to be on the other side, and it didn't work. But we're really good friends now.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting that you
Yeah.
seem to be very, very good friends. I love that. Not everybody can say that for
Yeah, that's
sure.
true. That's true. But you know, life is it's one's perspective, you know. When you recognize that you're flawed. When you recognize that you have messed up, when you recognize that you have made mistakes just like the other person, you can't be too hard or bent on not forgiving. No, because I always say a lie is a lie. There's no big lies, small lies, they're all lies. They're all wrong. So you can't say your action, your sin is more despicable than mine. It's still a sin.
There's some people they say, oh, well, he wasted 10 years of my life. Would you say that?
I wouldn't say that. I have a beautiful daughter. No. And life comes with lessons. Can you look back and say, what was the lesson I needed to learn during those experiences? Those experiences drew me closer, even more so to God. If I had any doubt in my mind who God was or is, my eyes became opened even the more. The relationship with God became deeper, more aware of who I was, not in this physical flesh, but through his eyes. I'm his daughter, and because I'm his daughter, he's gonna love me, he's gonna forgive me, he's gonna protect me, he's gonna care for me. So I can't say those years were wasted. No.
I definitely have the same feeling about that. I believe that it created in me a knowing of myself. Because I think I was just existing before that traumatic event. And I began to know myself and know God and who he was. And so I would never say that it's wasted, but I know a lot of people do feel that way. And like we were talking about before, the journey. Like I wouldn't change that journey, even though it was painful at
Painful.
times, I would never go backwards and change that journey.
Because there's so many lessons I have learned. And again, when it comes to God being the provider and God's provision and God giving you peace in circumstances when you want to just run away, situations that have broken other people, and you see that you're still standing because you held on. You held on to God, and just recognize that God is no respecter of persons. Because sometimes when I think about my background, and we can pretend all we want. We can pretend like we have never sinned, we have never messed up, we have never done the wrong thing, said the wrong thing. Liar. No. When I look at me and see how God saw fit to even use me to tell someone about him, I walk in humility. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. So no, I wouldn't change. And plus, I have my daughter.
And she's beautiful. She's absolutely
Thank
gorgeous.
you. And with Gabby dying at 4 months old, I wonder if I would have had another child. So, and then sometimes, and I'll share this story with you. I remember when I got pregnant with Gabby, I felt so ashamed because I was in church. I was singing on the choir. I was in church. And I felt so embarrassed. I was ashamed. That's with Gabby. And I remember laying on my bed one night, and I, one morning, actually Saturday morning, I woke up and I'm laying on my bed and I said, God, I feel so bad. I'm pregnant. I'm not married, and I'm singing on the choir. And what I saw on my wall was a hand on my wall. I was scared on my wits. The first thing that flashed from my mind was Daniel with a hand on the wall. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, open your eyes and look at it. And from that day, he was saying, it's okay. I walked with no shame. And he showed me in his word, Psalm 127, verse 4. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And I recognized then and there, if God didn't want me to get pregnant with that child, I would never had. The shame left me after that morning.
That's so interesting. I was reading somewhere, and it was about David and the fact that like David knew the Lord but still did horrific things. He was a
Things,
murderer, adulterer, and all this stuff. This was after he had a relationship with God. And I think back on the things that I have done after my relationship with God, and it's like, wow. The mercy,
the mercy.
the absolute mercy, you know?
There's none righteous. And so when we get into eras where we have the opportunity to share who God is, and for you and me who have podcasts, and we talk about love, and talk about our experiences, and it's just to tell somebody, God's not judging you. God's calling you into relationship with him, and he knows that sometimes getting away from certain lifestyle might not be as easy. He knows your journey. He knows what you're gonna. He knows you're gonna fall. He knew the prodigal son would have left his father's house to go wild out. But he was waiting for him to come back. He's waiting. God is that father. And so, but once we get to that point, again, leaving this lifestyle might not be easy either, but gradually. It's like intentionality. You put it in there and say, I want to walk away. Because we were talking earlier too about dying to the flesh. And we had an
Absolutely correct.
interesting conversation. What does dying to the flesh looks like for you?
Oh, it depends on what he's asking me to die to.
Well, if it's to be drawn closer, because sometimes, but I would take the word out sometimes on this journey, when we're called into relationship, we have to die to the flesh or crucify the flesh, take up the cross. So again, what does that? I know it's a tough question. It's a hard one because, and then you can get into what we're talking about.
You know, I would say I find myself, the closer I do get to God, saying to myself, "Your will, not my will, be done," more frequently than when I was in my lukewarm stage. And I was just kind of like, oh, a sprinkle of God and a sprinkle of what I want to do. You know, do I walk in his will every second of the day? That's a no. But is it way more, and is my heart posture towards him more? Absolutely. In everything. Even when it comes to singleness or what career field or just where do I want to live? Part of me wants to move and maybe get like a little tiny house in Tennessee. But I'm with a local church now that I know that the Lord has me in, and I enjoy being there. So I haven't had the release to go. But dying to the flesh is really just like your will, not mine. I didn't create myself, so I don't know why I think that I should be able to be in control of the script for my life. I don't know as much as my creator, so.
And sometimes it's giving up the things that we have become accustomed to
He doesn't
doing.
own.
And but we were talking earlier about marriage and relationships and marriage after marriage. And
Yes.
that so we're gonna dig into this conversation that Lena and I had behind the scene about marriage. Because Lena asked me a question if I would remarry, or what was your question to me again? If you recall, you don't
I
remember?
don't remember, but I know, I
Do
mean, it was along those
you remember
lines.
the answer, but you don't remember the
Yes.
question? Right, so Lena had asked me like if I'm looking for love again or if I would marry again, and I had to take a deep breath, and I had to we got into this conversation about what does down to the flesh looks like.
Which is the first time I've ever heard any of my single friends say that. Ever, ever. That is not ever their first, question.
When you're so bent. At my stage, your stage, living a life that's honorable before God, not man. We recognize that we have to release some things. And in releasing some things, it might be the very thing you're desirous of, maybe the thing you're yearning for and wanting. And for me, one of those things would be a relationship that works. A marriage that's lasting. So sometimes you hear people say, oh, I'm married 25 years. Say, oh, I wish I were married 25 years. I wish I had a husband, But that's not the case. And so we were talking about the Bible, and there is a part in the Bible, it's in Mark 10. I know, and I pray you go and read in your free time. These statements that we're gonna make right now might not be popular. And like Lena said, Sean, I'm gonna have to go dig deeper, dive deeper into this to see if there's other information that we can glean from, right? Mark 10, when they asked Jesus about marrying after divorce, right? And Jesus says, it says, what did Moses command you? They were asking him because they were trying to see if the Pharisees, as always, said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he said unto them, what does Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then there are no more twain, but one flesh. So even after they're divorced, they're still one flesh. And Paul talks about in Roman, say a woman is bound to her husband through marriage, the law of marriage. And even if they separate, she's only free to marry after her husband dies. Then is she released from that law? And so Lena and I had this conversation about, will you marry after a divorce? And so that's where we got into this down to the flesh. It's like my flesh would love. But if my flesh, if for me getting married again, while my husband is alive, my ex-husband is alive, it's contrary to God's word. Then do I want to die to the flesh that is saying, you need companion. You don't want to die alone. You don't want to get sick and don't have anybody there with you. It's real.
You know what I was thinking of?
What?
Okay, so you've wrestled with that, and you may be at the point where you could say, okay, I could surrender that. I wonder if the Lord said, I want y'all to get back together. Could you die to the flesh and get remarried? Edit that.
So he has not said that
Because we're about to get in trouble.
Yes,
Scratch that. But I do, we'll talk about it. Okay, well.
no, let me say. So the Lord hasn't said that to me, right? As yet. So if
But
he,
if he did, would you surrender that? Would you?
if I want to walk in obedience, I would have to. I would have to. You know what I mean?
I would tumble down this old mountain
See,
if the Lord said that. I would trip over a rock.
Okay, so now we could go even further. Hosea.
Yep.
God told Hosea to go marry Gomer, and Gomer was a prostitute.
True.
So again, if God said go, how far, how deep do we want to be in this when we're walking and we want to be in a relationship with the Lord and dying to the flesh? Because the flesh might say, I want to go marry a prostitute. They
Yep.
may laugh at me. They may, I might lose my friends.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what, and at the end of the day, the relationship that really matters is the relationship that you have with God. The Bible talks about the last days, and it says, in the last days, it says, two shall be sleeping in a bed, and one is taken, and the other is left behind. So if you have husband and wife in the bed, one is taken, one is left behind. What does that tell you? At the end of the day, it's going to be your relationship with the Lord.
It really is.
It's going to be yours. So again, and that's why you ask for discernment. You read God's word, and you, and I'm going to mention this word you mentioned. We talked about, we joked about the loopholes. We talk about, are there loopholes to this? To it's all about just tuning an ear to hear what God is saying, taking our questions to Him.
Which is so interesting because when I was lukewarm, that wasn't really my thoughts on things. And now it's like I want to know what you want. No matter what it is, I want to know what direction you want me to go. Whereas before I was like, well, I'll just go lean with how I feel.
Feel.
We all know that feelings lie. So you
Oh, yeah.
can't
Oh,
just
yeah.
rely on that.
Yeah.
But that word, the word is the law, And so
And sometimes again, it's hard. It's hard because we have
yeah,
been
it's not easy.
human, we have been human or been in this flesh for so many years, and we get so accustomed to doing things the way we have been doing them. But the more you get into His Word, the more you see what He expects of us. How deep into God do you want to go? And if getting in deep means relinquishing certain feelings,
Certain desires.
certain desires.
I came out of the Word of Faith movement, and so it's name it and claim it, and we just believe that that what we prayed for was gonna be a thing. And now I am more like, and this had me questioning things in 2019. I was like, I don't understand. If the naming and claiming is so right, then how come there are people in other countries who are willing to get their heads chopped up off and they are living in huts and don't have like running water and they don't have all these amenities that we're supposed to get through Jesus, through naming and claim it. And I was like, there's got to be something different. And there is a difference. They are surrendered to God no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what. Whereas the name it and claim it kind of teeters on, if I want something, if I pray hard enough and I have enough scriptures, then I'm going to get it rather than asking the Lord, is it your will that I have
Well.
that? I have a friend that she's never had children and the desire was really, really strong for many, many years. And the Lord has not blessed her with children. So, how do you reconcile that with a good God? We just have to surrender.
We have to surrender and says your will. And when we say your will, we have to mean your will. It can't be your will if things go a particular way. Your will if you kind of show up over here, or it's your will if you allow this to happen. It's your will. Your will all the way. You know?
Oh, that reminds me of who was it, Daniel and
Lion's Den.
they were in the fire.
Shadrach, Meshach, and
Yes.
Abednego. Yeah.
And they said, we believe that God will,
Will.
but if he doesn't,
Even if he doesn't, we
even
will
if he
bow.
doesn't.
Even if he doesn't, that's fine. You're willing to die, right? But God shows up. And to piggyback on what you said about people who live in other countries and who live what we would call minimalist lives, with hardly anything, and they're happy, they're so at peace. We crave this. Oh, you're successful. It's so funny. I did an episode in episode two, in season two, I'm sorry, about how do you measure success? You know, do you measure success by the big house you have on the hill or in the city, or do you measure success because you have all these letters to your name or you have all this money in the bank? Is that true and real success when you have, when you don't know God? I mean, at the end of the day, you're gonna leave all this behind. You're gonna die. You can't even take a cup of water with you. And I talk about my dad, who after he passed away, took nothing, nothing with him. So it's like all these things you're chasing after, and the one thing we should be chasing after is that relationship with God, so He can guide our lives, He can guide our hearts, as we talk about this journey. As you're on this journey called life, it's a journey, moments, moment here, a moment there. These moments we live.
You share with me a poem, and I hope that you can share that with us today, but a poem ab about love, and I just thought it was just so incredible. Is it, would you share that?
Yes, I'll share this poem. And the title of this poem is How Do I Want You to Love Me? And so I wrote this poem as I sat one day and I was thinking, and it's recently, I wrote it in 2023. Because again, I was desirous of having love and affection, all that came with it. And so I was saying, sometimes we don't tell the other person what we want in a relationship. We expect them to know,
True.
which is kind of unfair, right?
Kinda.
Yeah, it's kind of unfair because if I don't tell you how I want you to love me, then you won't know you're gonna love me the way you think I want to be loved, right?
Or
And
the way
so,
that you want to be loved.
right, and so, or the, you're right, their perception of love too, and so it's like we're loving from someone else's perspective. And so, I wrote this poem. How do I want you to love me? And it says, "Love me with your eyes. Love me with your smiles. Love me with your touch. Love me with your hugs. Show me that you love me when you lift me up in prayer. Show me that you love me when we're praises to God we share. Show me that you love me when you hold me close at nights. Show me that you love me with your smiles in the morning bright. In moments of surrender, trust me with your heart. And when I need to be vulnerable, please let nothing tear us apart. Grace for each moment, I ask or beg of you, my love, knowing we too have been bestowed with such grace from above. Let me kiss away your fears. Let me wipe away your tears. Let me love you with love's love, undaunted by the pain or the stain of the past. Show me how to touch you. Show me how to love you. Show me how to care. Show me how to hug you. Show me how to hold you. Show me how to whisper sweet nothings in your ears. How do I want you to love me?"
Love it. Love it.
And I wrote this poem when I sat and thought about the next relationship I would be in. How would I want someone to love me? Not with material gifts that don't matter. You can only wear one pair of shoes. You can only wear
So true.
one or two necklaces at a time. You can only
One
sleep in one,
bag.
carry one bag. Those things are immaterial, don't matter to me. And so I penned those words. And so if there's someone out there who can't say or speak out loud to your partner how you want to be loved, share this poem with them and remind them, that's how I want you to love me. So, you know, when I want to be vulnerable, when I want to just share my heart with you, talk about the pain of the past, talk about the things that changed my life, the stories that no one else knows, the things that I've been ashamed to share, the things that has shaped me, to be honest. Will you open your arms and be receptive for that kind of love? For that kind of love, I want you to love me.
To me, that's more valuable the older I get. that type of caregiving and love. Do you see me? You know?
We talked about the love languages earlier, and if I love jokes, okay? I love funny movies. I love to laugh. That's just me. So if we can just sit on the couch and watch a movie together and just laugh our faces off, just I'm good with that. You don't have to buy me whatever. I'm cool. Just let's have conversation. Hold hands and just chit chat and just laugh. Talk about life, talk about the Lord. Let's talk about God, His mercy and His grace, because He's good. He's good.
So good.
So good. He has kept us. He has kept us. So what else is going on over there with Miss Lena?
I mean,
Last time we talked, you told me you were in going back, you've gone back to school. So share with the audience, let us know what Miss Lena is doing.
So I have always wanted to have a degree. I do not have a degree. I have three licenses. I have my license, practical nurse license. I have my barber and my cosmetology license. And I have, oh my goodness, I've been to so many schools. I have 36 school IDs from multiple schools. I would start and I would quit. The decades would change, my hair would change, but there's so many things I thought I was gonna do, but I always wanted a degree in something. I didn't know what, but I am with this school, Kaneo Ministry Training Center, and so it's a 4-year program, and they offer a associate's degree, so I will be getting a biblical studies associate's degree.
Amen.
And so it's been
Amen.
challenging, but
Yeah.
I just want to know more about the Lord, and so I've really enjoyed it. I really
I'm
enjoyed
happy
it.
for you.
Thank
I'm happy
you.
for you. Yes.
Thank
Yes,
you.
indeed. And more so, you're doing the theology. And that's something I have my heart in as well. I've always, they say I go to school too much, but no, it's the truth. It's the truth. But I love to learn. I probably can't sit still for a minute. And I'm also considering, going back to school as well. It's a toss-up between theology and psychology. So I was looking at schools. I'm looking at Liberty University, and I'm looking at Beulah Gospel College here in Atlanta. So, but once I haven't gotten to the point where I decided where I want to go, I want to go back. And more so, I'm leaning towards theology, more so because I want to get into God's word. I want to be
It's
able to
fun.
just, I want to just His will and not my way. His
Absolutely,
will.
absolutely. I love that the timing is now because my kids are I just first I got my first apartment by myself. I have never lived by myself because I
My
went from my mama's to my husband's to living with the kids, and
kids.
so everybody's an adult and I have my first place, and so it's just been a beautiful season right now to just do the things that I'm interested in with only thinking of myself and what I want to do. So definitely enjoy that.
Oh my God, my kiddo is young. Nativa just turned 15. Thank God for that. Kept her over these past 15 years. And so once she becomes a little bit more independent, start driving then. Because I thought about, school and doing it online, but for this season, I want it to be in person. I
Absolutely,
want this one to be
absolutely.
in person. So once she's able to, and I have a little bit more flexibility, I really want to look into that.
Even for the fact of just meeting other believers
That's
who
it.
are
That's
passionate
it.
about God's word, like you
That's
can't
it.
get that on the other side of the
Online.
screen.
No. So that's why even though I'm looking at my options, I'm not following through on that until I have the flexibility to do so, to go in person. So it's good. Learning is good.
It is. I remember. I think I will be a forever student. Let's just say that they will bury me with a backpack and my school ID.
That's so funny.
But I remember being maybe about 17, 18, and in my first year of college, and I took a nutrition class, and there was an older couple, and I think they were like in their 70s taking classes. And I was like, huh. And I think it just dropped a seed in me that like there should never come a point where you're like, oh,
I'm too old, yeah.
I know enough about life. I don't need to learn anymore, you know? And then young people are fun. I enjoy, you know.
Yeah, I remember when I went back to school too, because I didn't go to university until I came here. Yeah, 28. I went when I was 35, and 35. I went in 2033, actually 2005, and I graduated 2010. So yeah, never too old. And I told my teachers, I'm too old to waste time and money. I'm gonna do it. It's my first opportunity to go back to college, to go to college, and so I was gonna make the best of it. So
Absolutely.
the lesson is, you're never too late, too old, and it's never too late for you to chase after your dreams. If you want to go back to school, go back to school. Go learn. You can always use the information you pick up in school. So it's never too late to learn, and you're not too old. I always joke about Sarah and Abraham being so old, and God allowing them to give birth to Sarah's first kid when she was 90. Why am I putting restrictions on God? God's timing is perfect. So how am I to tell God, oh, you can't do this in me because I'm at this age?
Yeah, even circling back to love. My cousin, she just got married about 2 years ago, and she's 81. And they go on cruises, they go to bike shows, I
Wow.
mean car shows, and like they're running the streets. I can barely catch up with them. So, you know, it's not
Yeah.
too late. It's not,
Yeah.
it's never too late, I don't
Never
think.
too late at
No.
all. Very grateful. God be praised. God be praised. Anything else you want to share, Miss Dina, before we wrap up this lovely episode? Thank you so much.
Absolutely. I hope you guys have enjoyed all this tea we got from Deshawn, because who knew? I didn't know.
See, I tell you, don't be fooled. Some people show up and pretend like they are all that on a bag of chips. Some people pretend like they don't have flaws, and people show up and pretend like they have never had anything wrong in their families, have lived a peaceful and glorious life all their lives. We all have our stories, we all have our flaws, we all have our mishaps, we all have things if we could take back, if we could turn back the hands of time and change some stuff in our lives, we could and we would. But like you said, the lessons we learned, the things that
Journey.
shaped us, the things that showed us how strong we were, the things that broke other people down, the things that caused other people to give up on life and end their lives. And those are the things that built your character, it built your tenacity and showed you, I have guts. You can keep going. I talk all the when I bought my first car, I didn't have any money. Just some gas. Never had any money. Never missed a payment. Never late. And God, I've watched God provide for me time and time again. Even when I got myself into situations that I shouldn't have gotten in, and see God get me out. And God is faithful. So we don't discount the journey. We don't dismiss life's moments, bad ones, good ones. We use them as stepping stones.
That's right.
'Cause now we have a benchmark. Now we have a benchmark, and we know how far we'll go, and we know what we won't do, and we know what we will do because of the experiences we've had in the past.
So true.
And love is always the should always be the factor that we consider to keep us going, the drive. More so God's love for us. If God hasn't written us off, then you shouldn't write off yourself, right? You shouldn't write off anyone else either, because what he has done for you, he will do for someone else. And in your mess, he picked you up. In my mess, he picked me up. He can pick someone else up just as well.
So true.
So we don't write others off, because we too have erred, like I said in one of my poems. We too have erred and caused some commotion, but still we are, and yet we are still here waiting for God's promotion.
So true. That's
Yeah.
true.
So we offer grace to others just as though God has extended grace to us. And we love in spite of and despite of, and forgive. You have to forgive. Life is too short.
So true. Thank you
Thank
so much.
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Lena, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
My pleasure.
I
Enjoyed
love
it.
it. Lena and I just, I can't even tell you. God makes no mistakes, when he placed people in your pathway and people in your lives. And I thank God for Lena, that he placed her in my
Same.
life. I'm truly
Same.
grateful. Truly grateful.
Thank
I'm truly grateful.
you.
Thank you again for gracing us here on the Just the Moment podcast. And we know the floor is open, the door is open. You're always welcome. And I'm not saying that because I'm on camera. I'm saying that from the bottom of my heart. Any day you want to come chit chat with me, eat and dine and fellowship, just holler at me
You will do.
and let me know. I'm serious. I am not joking.
Will do. Will
Yes.
do.
All right. We are so grateful that the one and only Lena West
Thank
decided to grace us here on the Just a Moment podcast. I pray what we talked about, what we shared, we were able to show the human side of us, right? We can't pretend like we're not human. We can't pretend like we're not flawed. But because of God's grace, we are continuing on this race to run on and see what the end is going to be. And that's the encouragement in this season, the journey we're on. Sometimes we don't see the end. We're just going on this journey. We don't see the middle. We're just starting off. But we trust God as the compass to guide us. We may slip and fall, yes, because sometimes we get hard-headed, sometimes we get stubborn, sometimes the flesh rises up and you want to do things our way and have it our way, like that burger place right there. Okay. But when we learn to just lean in and look to who God is, the one and only, the guide, the protector, the provider, we'll trust him even the more. So I pray something in this episode speaks to something on the inside of you. If God hasn't written you off, don't write yourself off and don't write others off. All right, Jumper family. So we will see you next week, same place, same time, right here on the set of the Just a Moment podcast. Don't forget that the new episodes are available Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Just a Moment podcast and you will find us there. And don't forget, subscribe to the podcast, hit that notification bell so you will know once the new episode drops. Hey, and I would love it also if you drop me a comment, share your thoughts. I would love to chit chat with you. You can already tell that I love to run my mouth, right? Yes. So leave me a note on the Just the Woman podcast. Now, I want you to remember, moments that are gone never come back. Missed moments can never be recaptured, they can never be retrieved. So I want you to take a hold of your moments, the good ones, the bad ones, the pleasant ones, the unpleasant ones, the ones no one knows about. Take hold of your moments. Guess what? I am taking a hold of mine. And remember, put God first in all that you do, all that you do, and be good to yourself and be true to who you are. Be true to whom God has created you and called you to be and to become. I am Sean N. Graham, your host, and I will see you next week on the Just a Moment podcast,
The
the
Jam
Jam
Pod.
Pod.
Just a moment to taste the newness of life. A moment to recognize that yesterday was survived. Embracing every minute and the seasons we have. For despite life's challenges, there is always a moment to be glad. Just a moment. Just a Moment podcast.
where we part.